get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Have you ever gotten a standing ovation?
Not really that I took notice of, I guess. I guess so. I mean, I've introduced concerts and I've given some speeches and stuff. People stood up. I don't like to think of it as like having a 20-year career or something. And people are like, you really gave us the gift, man. Thanks, as a send-off. I don't know.
So I started researching this and thinking about it because, first of all, whenever there's a standing ovation somewhere, I immediately stand up and join the group. And I always think it's awkward when some people stand and some people don't stand.
Right.
And I always think to the people that don't stand, like, why? Like, obviously, people thought that this speaker did a great enough job that they should stand. So why are you going to diminish this person's moment in the light by not standing? Because now they're not looking at everybody standing. They're looking at the people that are sitting.
Well, I mean, I was always told, too, that if you're on stage, the lights are bright enough, you probably won't see the people in the crowd anyways. I mean, maybe they just feel like it's an obligatory standing ovation, right? Like, oh, we stand for everybody. It's the end of this. So we've got to stand. You know what? Wasn't really that good. Was it A level? It was B level at best.
This comes up because Mayim Bialik and Neil Patrick Harris have been friends for a very long time, right?
Sure.
And Neil Patrick Harris was doing like a guest performance on Rent on Broadway. She went to the show and she did not stand when everybody was giving him the standing ovation. And he may have forgiven her now or whatever, but I was thinking about it. It's like, why wouldn't she stand? It takes more effort not to stand like that. Did you really think he did not do a good job? But there's certain times when like you just don't know what to do and it feels awkward.
Maybe she was busy. Maybe your
doing
phone
what?
Buzzed.
Yeah, but
maybe she was making sure the babysitter arrived on time.
I don't know. I think that it's really rude that if a standing ovation begins, if you don't participate, even if you don't think that the person did that great of a job, unless they personally inflicted some kind of bad EBGBs on you, there's no reason why you shouldn't stand and like just join the crowd and say, great job, you did it.
How pretentious we are to notice that one person who doesn't.
I've come up with some scenarios and you're going to tell me whether or not it deserves a standing ovation since all of a sudden you seem to be the dictator of what deserves ovations and what doesn't.
I mean, I didn't ask to be here, but I've arrived at this spot. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. Your wife successfully cleans the house in a record amount of time.
Definitely not worthy of a standing ovation.
Terrible.
I mean,
she worked really hard.
Yeah, great. I mean, but it's, you know, we all have our jobs to do, right?
A stand-up comedian does an unbelievable set and you laugh very hard. Do you stand at the end of that?
Probably because I've been drinking. You know, they've got those minimums at clubs, right? So then I'm feeling very generous at that point. But regular mediocre comedian, definitely not standing.
You get off an incredible ride. It was the best roller coaster you've ever gone on in your entire life, and you are shook to the core, assuming you can stand at that point.
100% not. It's a machine. It doesn't need my adoration to operate and do its job well.
All I'm saying is I've never gotten a standing ovation. I hope one day to get one.
Your CEO arrives, says that he's going to up everybody's salary by 20%, and you're all getting an unexpected bonus of $10,000.
I hug that person. And then we stand. Oh, look
I'm out
at
of
you.
My seat.
Yeah, you're standing up.
I'm out of my seat now. Mm-hmm.
If you missed it yesterday, we were talking about what is your biggest unnatural fear? And someone called and said this, and it stopped us in our tracks.
I have an unnatural fear of the bees in September, September bees. They are out to kill in September. They're dying soon. They're putting it all on the line and they are after you.
You're probably right. There have been some aggressive bees I've noticed in the last couple of weeks. And I just thought it was that time of year. But right, they're September bees. They're very angry because they're going to die.
Nonsense. It's total nonsense. She said that about aggressive bees, but hadn't been stung in over a decade.
And then this call happened.
Just to piggyback on the bee situation, those September bees, the other day we had a fire drill outside with all the students, and the bees were swarming all over the place. I don't think anybody got stung, thank God, but they were everywhere. It was terrible.
Here's the thing. If nobody got stung, they weren't actually aggressive. They were just doing what bees do. They were flying around outside.
No, they're aggressive in September. We know that now.
Nobody got stung. They're not overly angry.
But then we got a text message. Remember the landscaper got stung?
He's a landscaper. He's walking on top of a bee's house.
But we knew that we had a serious problem with September bees when we got this call.
I just wanted to echo your unnatural fear of bees.
Yeah.
In September, absolutely. They are pissed that the winter is coming and they're going to take it out on everybody they can.
You know this because you've spoken to a lot of bees.
Absolutely. So yeah. When my daughter was 3 months old, I was standing in line in Walmart with her, and they had a display of apple juice that had some that spilled, so there were some bees. My daughter let out a scream and reached for her ear, and when I looked down at my 3-month-old child, there was a bee climbing out of her ear that had stung her in her ear canal.
I can't.
It sounds unpleasant, but I mean, near the apple juice and so forth, I mean, it's not that confusing.
He picked out the smallest, most vulnerable person in the room to take it out on.
We had a vendetta. These September bees need to be stopped.
That's our message here. Stay in your lane, bee.
At the end of the day, what we've learned today is September bees and being afraid of them is not an unnatural fear. That is a real fear.
I can't deal with you guys. I can't do it.
Do you want to admit now that September bees were a real problem?
I'm never going to admit that because I have science on my side.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say no contest. I'm going to lose the argument. She threw a baby on me.
Right.
Once you throw a baby in front of you,
yep.
There's no way that I'm going to be able to take any shots after that and win the argument.
But you know what today is, Raven?
What's up?
It is October 1st. So you know what that means?
I have no idea. I'm sure you're going to tell me.
It means the end of the September bees and we can stop being afraid of them. In honor of their demise, I had producer John write a song about it.
Leaves are changing on the trees. October's here, you know that means. Say goodbye to those September bees.
Oh, no.
They're out for blood and to cause pain. They'll sting you again and again and again. But they can't escape that cold October freeze. So say goodbye to those September bees.
But wait a minute. They can't really sting you over again and again and again, because don't they die after the first time they sting you?
He just needed something that rhymed with again.
Oh, okay, got
That's what he needed.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, September bees. Goodbye. For years, our teacher, Christine Scarpati, has joined us during the Halloween season, and we would watch because she would carve these incredible, beautiful pumpkins into masterpieces. But we weren't the only ones watching her. Food Network was keeping an eye on her, too, and now she's taking her pumpkin carving skills and competing against the best in the world. Her new show, Outrageous Pumpkins, debuts Sunday night on the Food Network.
Welcome back, Chrissy.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, one of the most exciting things, of course, is when you come in and carve those pumpkins with us here on the air, and then we leave with them, and people in our neighborhoods think that we're supremely talented, too,
mm-hmm.
which we know is not actually true, but again, appreciate all your help over the years, and some amazing pieces of artwork you've really created right in front of us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just really fun. It's very therapeutic. Especially when I come on your show, it's just sitting, carving, and listening to you guys chat. It's really relaxing.
So let's start at the beginning. How did they find you?
I think they found me through my Instagram, to be honest. I hadn't known about the show because the show was new. So when they contacted me and asked me to be on a show called Outrageous Pumpkins that Food Network does, I thought it wasn't real because, I mean, I watch it. I hadn't seen that show yet, but they had contacted me in the summer, and the first season was airing last fall, so... She said, you know, they apologized that I hadn't gotten a seat yet, but explained the premise of the show. And it sounded incredible. Like, what a chance. So I definitely wasn't going to miss that opportunity to be a part of it.
Chrissy, for those who haven't seen the show, how is it different than other competition shows with food or things like that? Right. Is like somebody screaming in your face. Are there explosions around you? Like, is it you versus this other person and you guys have to arm wrestle after you create the pumpkins? What do they do with that?
The premise of the show is there's 7 carvers, and in each episode, there's always a quick carve, which is just like last season, and then a longer carve. So the quick carve is about 4 hours and the long carve is 6. And you are kind of just doing your own thing at your station. You know, they give you your topic. They say go. You run out. You get your pumpkins and you bring them over to your station and you start making your idea. There's no judges coming around until the very end.
Okay, so nobody trips each other running out to the pumpkin patch, you know. You don't throw that person down.
These were the most wonderful people I have ever met. I think we're just going to be lifelong friends.
I couldn't wait to ask you about this because I know that this is all said and done. This happened last year. Everything is recorded and just ready to play. And again, this premieres this Sunday on the Food Network at 10 p.m. But you know, you obviously know if you won or not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard. I mean, my family doesn't know. My school knows when I came back. You know, I used some personal time and they were nice enough to let me go. They told me I couldn't miss this opportunity. And even through COVID, you know, we made it work, which is great.
I can't believe that you don't even tell your family if you won or not. I feel like you have to.
I can't.
Not even the babies, the little girls, like you're not going to tell your daughters.
Look at the biggest mouths ever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What did they think about mommy being on TV?
I don't know if she really notices anything, except I think when I was in the front page of the Post, that kind of hit her because she's like, hey, that's you. Why are you the favorite?
I cannot wait to watch this first episode on Sunday night.
Thank you.
I won't judge you if you trip anybody in the finale.
I just got stuck in the wild boar vortex of YouTube, which I didn't think was going to be a real thing that happened today,
no,
but it did.
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing right now.
Yeah.
So Shakira, if you missed it yesterday, you know, Shakira, she was on a hike with her 8-year-old son, Milan, and outside of Barcelona, and she encountered wild boars.
Oh my gosh. Wild boars are everywhere in his app.
Yeah. And here she is talking about it.
Y se iban llevando mi bolso para el bosque con mi teléfono. Y al final me han dejado el bolso porque me he enfrentado.
When she was speaking Spanish.
Yeah. Okay. So what did, I mean, do you know what she said?
Well,
do you have
a
translation?
You hear how frantic she is? That you could hear it in her voice?
Yes.
She just got attacked by two wild boars while she was hiking with her 8-year-old son.
Mm.
And she's saying how the boars went out there. She was covered in dirt and the boars tried to steal her bag, which had her phone in it.
Yeah.
And she had to like grab it and be brave. And she even asked her 8-year-old son in the Instagram story. She was like, Milan, tell them how brave I was.
Yeah.
And then he just walked away because he's 8 and was like, Ma, please, not now.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They weren't after her purse. They were after her son. I mean, wild boars are really aggressive.
Oh, and I was also
really aggressive. No. And they've got those tusks and they will gore you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's bad. They're like invasive wild boars.
No, I think they're probably going after her bag because remember, she was very concerned about the fact that her phone was in her bag. And I was thinking about like all the contacts that are in Shakira's bag.
That's
like,
what the wild boars want, right?
They definitely want Channing Tatum's cell phone number, which most likely is probably in there.
Yeah, here's what they really want. Destruction, all right? Chaos. They want to eat. They want to sleep. They want to lick little baby boars. That's really all that boars want to do.
Well, that's the crazy part, because when I watched this video initially and I heard about this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But I was like, but aren't they just piggies?
No,
like,
no, they're not piggies.
So then I got stuck in the National Geographic wild boars videos on YouTube just now.
Yeah.
Just listen to this.
Man, watch your feet. Oh! It's just a horrifying growl. Shows her teeth, barks, and growls.
I mean, listen to that.
Yeah.
Man, watch your feet. Oh!
Yeah.
That's a wild boar. Like, all of a sudden, man, I understood why Shakira was terrified.
Did you not see Hannibal? Are you not, you know,
I don't remember
what they can do to a human body?
It's really bad.
Yes, it is really bad. A small price to pay. Give up your bag, Shakira.
I mean, but all those contacts in there, you know?
Well, sad day for them. But
yeah.
Channing Tatum, you know, don't be surprised if you get some phone calls to people offering you, you know, extended warranty on your car or something like that.
And it's a wild hog that's making that phone call?
Well, that's where they got the information anyways.
Got it. I got this email and I was like, uh-oh, somebody did something wrong, but I'm never going to find out what it is. Well, maybe I will.
Yeah, you probably will.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. What's the craziest thing you ever saw go down at one of your kids' games? So the email was from the Soccer Association,
right,
where my daughter plays.
Okay.
And it says all capital letters. And you know when like the Soccer Association is sending out something in all capital letters, it's a big deal.
Whoever typed it out was definitely angry at the time.
So mad. It was like, reminder, code of conduct. And then it goes on to say, dear families, when we register our players, we read and sign the code of conduct. It is the intent to promote a positive and enthusiastic environment for all referees, players, coaches, managers, and spectators. Then it goes on for about five pages talking about how not to act like a complete idiot at your kids' sports games.
I love how it opens up with the fact that you've already signed this, which means that if you act inappropriately, you're liable already at this time right now.
And I was wondering, it's like, obviously, if you're sending this out to hundreds and hundreds of parents that are involved with the association, like, what happened? And I've seen it, like, from, you know, being on the sidelines, you see, like, the things go down, the things that the parents say. And I just read this stat that made me feel sad. 70% of refs quit reffing kids' games within the first 3 years because of the parents.
I would imagine that there's quite a little pressure. You know, you think about a kid's sporting event, right? And you have a combination of certain elements. You have people that they have big hopes and dreams for their kids. So maybe they believe that their kid is a great athlete, right? They have other people that are just hoping that their kid does well enough that they'll assimilate, they'll make some friends, that type of thing. Yep. It's emotionally charged when somebody else is out there judging your kids, you know, based on their performance. Or if somebody's misbehaving there and then they're slighting your kids or their team or whatever, you know, it's a lot of emotions at stake.
I'll be honest, when I coach soccer, which I don't do anymore because, you know, Hayden has outgrown me, but I'm loud.
Has outgrown me.
She's outgrown my
she
abilities.
She doesn't want to hear. Oh, okay.
You know, my abilities.
I thought she didn't want to hear your mouth, but
no,
okay.
No, no, no. She needs like a real coach now. Like, it was different when she was younger and all that. But yeah, I was loud. I was the loud coach that was, you know, always enthusiastic and cheering them on. But I was a loud coach. But I never could understand the parents on the sideline that would yell at the refs. And I would be like, these refs are like 12, 13 years old. Like, give the kids a break. Like, this, none of us are competing for real. I didn't understand the aggression behind that.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. What did you see go down in your kid's game?
So one of the parents brought his new girlfriend to his son's game, and she was wearing a skin-tight one-piece cat suit that left nothing to the imagination, and it was sort of see-through, and she wasn't wearing underwear, and there was a lot of cleavage,
wow.
And none of the parents could really focus on the game because we were all embarrassed.
Joey, is this your new mom?
Woman.
Joey, over here. Joey, at second base.
Right.
Look, say hi to your mommy. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Nobody could concentrate, huh? Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. That's a statement outfit, no question. It's a statement that she was invited, and it's a statement outfit that was worn. Mm-hmm. Does seem uncomfortable for some. At the same time, I got my cell phone handy and ready to go for when mom actually shows up.
No.
Because this is not going to be boring.
No, I take that picture and send it to all my friends immediately. I'm just being dead honest. 64% of officials have had to eject spectators from a game. When you think about that, at a kid's game.
Wow.
Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, that's 2 out of 3. That's pretty wild.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got an email from our soccer association about a reminder to all the parents about the code of conduct. And I was like, uh-oh.
Somebody did something.
Yeah, absolutely, if they're sending one of these. But crazy things go down at your kids' games and parents get out of control. What did you see go down? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Okay, I was the umpiring chief in a little league, so I hired umpires. Yeah, it's just a little league. It was a girls' softball team, and the umpires are tough to get girls' softball, I got to tell you. A mother took over for the coach for some reason. All of a sudden, my wife's home, phone rings. This woman that took over for the coach didn't like a call on third base. She started arguing with my umpire and threw a chair at the guy.
No. Oh, my gosh. What?
Can you imagine?
I swear to God, I called the coach. He had to go to work. He got called out. So I told him, listen, there was a hill on the first base side. I said, that mother from now on, she has to stay on that hill. She comes off the hill. You guys forfeit the game. I don't care what it's for.
Oh, my gosh.
Who throws a chair? Right?
Right. Who throws a chair?
Hi, Anna and Raven. What was the most inappropriate thing you saw go down at a kid's game?
Okay, I was at my son's game, and there was a father. We were all watching the game. Everything was fine. But then his son was the pitcher, and he did not like the way that the umpire was calling whatever it was. He started screaming and yelling and even cursing, and then he actually walked out onto the field and pulled his son off the mound and pulled him right out of the game.
You're hurting my kid's stats, man. You're hurting my kid's stats. This is how I would feel if I was the manager of the Yankees or the Red Sox whenever Joe West was calling a game.
Okay.
There's terrible umpires out there. Terrible. And you know what? You're better off getting your kid out of there. Yeah. Let's go, Jimmy. We're going home.
There's no way.
We're going home.
You don't ever look good when you storm onto a field or onto a mound or anything like that and grab your kid and pull them off.
You call that a ball? Mm-hmm. You call that a ball? Mm. Is this your first game, ref? What are you doing? Jimmy, let's go.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Most inappropriate thing you saw at a kid's game. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. My kid's soccer game, a mom slapped the referee for a bad call.
Wow.
But moms get fired up at soccer games.
They definitely do.
Anna has literally almost had the authorities called on her several times.
That's
and she was in
true.
Charge.
No. Yeah. I have never been combative with a referee in my life. I yell at my players.
Oh, good.
But that's because they have to learn the correct way to play, and it's team building, self-esteem building.
Nothing. It seems to me like soccer refs just make it up as they go.
That's not true either.
Well,
but there are definitely bad soccer refs and good soccer refs. There's definitely a difference. But the problem is when they're all like 12 years old and you're yelling at them, and then you have to remember you're an adult yelling at a child. That's why I never get involved in that.
And this mom was a 5 and under parent. This is 5 and under kids.
Oh my God.
They don't even keep score.
Yep. You got to let it go.
On our text line, I saw a dad throw a cup of coffee onto the ice from the stand at our kid's hockey game and then tell everyone it was his wife when he was confronted.
Oh, man.
Just threw her right under the bus.
That's terrible.
I mean, imagine you're that wife. You're like, are you serious right now? Parents do crazy things at their kids' games. What is the nuttiest thing you've seen? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
So I used to be a hockey reporter for a show called Gotta Love Hockey. And we had been filming something for the, like, championship, the state championships for, I think it was, like, age 11, age 12 hockey players. And we had two parents get arrested because they started fighting because they were from opposite teams and they didn't like how each other's kid was playing.
I love it when the dads settle it like men by acting like they're 8.
Right.
That's the best. You want to settle this? You want to settle this like men? Then we go outside. They throw 3 punches, one of which maybe lands. They fall on the ground, roll around. Somebody gets their shirt ripped. Then they're out of breath. They're questioning whether or not they're going to have a heart attack when the police get there.
What I try to understand is if you go on YouTube, there are so many videos of parents that like end up in brawls. Mm. And there's like 20 of them piling on. Like it's like a high school cafeteria fight, you know?
Team.
How does that happen?
Team. We're preaching team mentality in the stands here. And Raven, what did you see happen at a kid's game?
So I used to sponsor a kid's fun run, and we used to run a half-mile race and a mile race, and it was going by the age groups. And we had a kid one time who was like 6 years old that wanted to run the mile, and his race was supposed to be the half-mile. But the dad kept pushing and pushing. He's like, he wants to run the mile. And I said, well, that's fine. You can run the mile, but it's going to be unofficial. So they agreed, and the kid ran the race and ended up winning the race. He ran the fastest mile, but the trophies were all based on age groups. So we're handing out the trophies, and this dad's losing his mind because his kid starts crying because he's not getting a trophy for winning the mile. So next thing you know, we're cleaning up the whole thing, and this dad comes back to me. He's like, I can't let this go. And I said, well, I really don't know what else to do for you, but I've already told you the race is over. It's a fun run. And, you know, you ran unofficially. I feel bad, but it is what it is. So he leaves. 10 minutes later, I'm packing up my truck. He comes back again with the kid crying. And he's like, is there anything you could do for us? So I literally, like, tried to find something in my truck to give him to appease him.
Right. Like a spare tire.
Half pack of cigarettes. You know, whatever you have.
An extra, yeah. You know, maybe, yeah. An extra Gatorade.
Okay. Here's $20 out of my wallet.
100%. The guy emailed me a week later. And he's like, you know, my son still can't get over it. And I was like, at this point, I didn't know what to do. It just showed me, like, you know, where parents are these days with sports. I'm like, you got to, you know, be able to talk to your kids about it.
Right. And tell your kid, like, we knew what we were getting into.
Right.
The pride is the most important thing. And move on with your life. A week later, he's still sending you an email. Like, get out of here with that.
The kid was 6. I said, if you just let him run with the other 6-year-old, he would have dominated, got a trophy. You could have got some ice cream and had a great Sunday. But now, now your kid's in therapy.
I'm amazed he didn't sue you with the way life is nowadays.
That would have been the next step.
I mean, buddy, Google a trophy maker, all right? I mean, I bought Anna a trophy a couple years ago. Just do it.
It's true. Raven bought me a trophy, and it's not even a real trophy.
It's your favorite gift.
I have it on my shelf, though, at home, and I'm very proud of it.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you, you can't make it up.
So how should you actually behave? I can't believe we even have to have this conversation, but we do. Karen Thomas is the etiquette expert, and she has some pointers coming up next. Always stories about parents misbehaving at sports games for their kids, but there is an actual etiquette, believe it or not. Karen Thomas is the authority on etiquette. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. So there's four major things that can happen at a game that aggravates parents and starts terrible things happening.
These are typical scenarios?
Yep. Karen, I'm hoping you can tell me what you're supposed to do in every single one of them, okay?
I gotcha.
All right. The ref keeps calling the game incorrectly. The ref just stinks.
Well, unfortunately, as a parent, you must remain calm and quiet if you wish to discuss it after the game with the ref, but you should not disrupt or put your personal opinion into the game.
I'll make snarky remarks. So, like, last week, they called offsides when one of our teammates was not offsides, and they took away the goal.
Clearly.
Right? Yeah. But when we made the next goal, I yelled out, "They're not going to take that one away from you."
Oh, yeah. That was grown up. That was grown up of her, yeah, wasn't it?
No, that really isn't appropriate. You know, parents should refrain from being coaches and referees at games and just cheer politely for their team and just accept that sometimes the games are not going to go or the calls are not going to go their way.
Win some, you lose some.
What do you do when the coach isn't playing your kid?
Now, that there is a difficult one, but that is something that you should address with the coach in private, not in front of the team, not in front of your child. But approach it in a manner that you're willing to help and you're willing to understand, not like, "My kid is the best player. You should be playing her. And why are you not?" So always approach with honey, not with lemons.
What if the parent next to you keeps complaining that their kid isn't getting any field time, but you want to tell them it's because they stink?
Oh, no.
Okay. No. Well, unfortunately, we all have our opinions and we want to say them. Perhaps that would be a conversation for you to have with your spouse away from the game later on and not to the person whose player is not performing up to his or her ability.
Are you implementing that you should be a kind human being? Because
it was so nice of her.
Yeah.
See, it was nice.
Okay, what do you do if another parent is constantly screaming things that are offensive? Do you approach that parent or do you stay out of it?
I would approach that parent again on the sidelines away from other people, not in front of everybody. So if she is the one making all the noise, I wouldn't yell over to her during the game. But I would pull her aside, you know, later and say, you know, "Geez, your language," or, you know, say something, and, you know, that it is disturbing. And again, this is a kid's sport. You know, this is not a hockey game where this type of behavior is a little more, I'd say, acceptable. You know, kids' sports, it's different, and we have to refrain from being that ill-mannered parent. We have to be respectful because we want our children to understand that this is not acceptable as well.
To be clear, we don't want parents fighting at kids' hockey games either.
Mm-hmm.
To be clear.
Exactly.
Let me put that up there.
You know, we want to mirror the behavior that we want from our children. So if you're yelling, screaming, or swearing, or doing things, or calling the ref names, you know, really, that's telling your child it's okay to do that as well.
One last one. The players on the other team are too aggressive. As a parent, do you get involved or do you let the coaches handle that?
You let the coaches and refs handle that. And that is very disturbing when someone is like hurting your child or, you know, deliberately being mean to your child. You want to run right out of the stands. I get that. But, you know, you have to let them handle it. And if you feel that the coach or the ref after the game or, you know, this is a continual activity, you want to make sure that you approach them individually and address it then, not in front of the team or publicly.
Karen Thomas, etiquette expert. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Thank you, Karen.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mommy's Margarita Friday. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? And you can be a mom, a dad, you could have fur babies, human babies. We don't care. We know that parenting in general is just tough. Raven, I don't even have audio this week because Dakota, my 2-year-old, her newest thing is that she hates her car seat so much that she screams, "I don't want to be safe."
Great.
But has learned how to unbuckle the top.
Oh, that's dangerous.
I just want you to picture me driving down the highway and her being like, "I don't want to be
me see!
And then unbuckling it while I'm screaming like a maniac from the front seat and trying to reach back with one arm.
Every bit of this seems dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the car with you or next to you, frankly, on the highway.
I'm considering duct tape at this point, to be honest. checking our text line at 1-800-330-9999. I earned my margarita this week. I teach kindergarten with 23 students, and I'm all alone. I have a bathroom with a very loud flusher. Every day this week, someone has had a bathroom accident. One of the days, four kids had a bathroom accident around the same time. I earned my margarita.
Wow.
That's a lot.
I hope the parents are providing extra paper towels.
Definitely. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do this week during your margarita?
So I had a run not once but twice after my student because I wouldn't let him keep the chicken bone for lunch. And I wanted him to throw it out. So he wanted to take it into the bathroom and clean it. And I said, no, throw it out. He took off and he ran through the school.
Why does he want the chicken bone?
Because he has to bury it so he can make more chickens and they can grow.
What?
Duh.
I don't know. He said he's never had a chicken on the bone and he wanted to keep the bone.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And you cared why. I'm as curious about both sides. They both blow my mind. I mean, let him have that chicken bone.
Listen, if he wanted to keep the chicken bone, then I have 23 other students who wanted to keep the chicken bone.
And they smell. And now I got to have a chicken bone in this room? Doesn't make any sense at all.
And then I have his mother calling saying, why does my son have a chicken bone in his backpack?
Mm. Right.
It's true, I suppose.
Does that make any sense?
Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend.
I feel like made you laugh.
It's Margarita Friday. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
My son went to school and for some reason told his teacher and his entire class that he was going to be a big brother. And I picked him up. His teacher started congratulating me. But, you guys, I'm not pregnant.
No.
Good. I don't even know where he thought that. I'm just a little bloated, maybe. I'm just like a little bloated. I mean, I'm so, or he really just wants to be a big brother, and I'll take that as my cue, but it was so embarrassing.
That's funny.
I would question what I'm wearing. I would question everything. Like, oh, that's terrible.
And when they're seven, they don't know.
Oh, you should have that margarita right in front of the teacher. That's what you should do. Enjoy it. You deserved it.
Totally.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Bobby and Hannah. Hannah, what's going on?
Yeah, hi. So Bobby just recently moved into my apartment, and as he was, you know, setting up and putting all of his stuff away, I noticed that he brought all of these gigantic framed, I guess you'd call it art, pieces, and he's putting them all over the house, and I mean, they don't go with anything. They don't go with my theme. The colors are all wrong. I just want them to go away. I want them to go in the garbage or, you know, at least box them up and put them somewhere. I mean, it looks like somebody just sort of spray painted some canvas and we're calling it art nowadays, I guess. But it's driving me crazy. I don't know what to do.
The funny thing about artwork, right, Anna, because if you have a piece that you love, well, you fall in love with that piece. You can't get enough of looking at it. And you got a piece if you can't stand.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It looks like an albatross in the middle of your house. Bobby, what's your side of this?
Well, I mean, we did move in together, you know, and life is about compromises. These things are actually worth a lot of money. I spent a lot of money on them. So they're collector pieces, you know. And, you know, it's compromise. I mean, I could put some away, but I should be able to hang something up. I mean, wouldn't that be okay?
How big are they?
Well, they're like floor to ceiling.
9x4. Like, they're huge. They're huge. Yeah. They take up like an entire wall, and it's just like looking at a headache. Like, you just look at it, your head's
burning. Wow. It's art. I mean, not everybody appreciates art, but I get it.
Right.
No,
I love it. And when you say the line, too, that not everybody appreciates art, that really means simple-minded people don't get this.
My girlfriend, Lisa, she was so excited. She like just sent me a picture of this piece of art that she had a bid on. The best way I could describe it is if you took a bunch of Mardi Gras bead necklaces and you attached it to a stick. I kid you not. I was like, how much did you pay for that? And she was like, $600. I go, what? It was so outrageous to me. That, you know?
This is exactly the situation. It's like when you see those videos of like an elephant or a gorilla painting, and they're like, "Oh, look what they can do!" And you're like, "But babies can do that too. Like anybody can do that."
Hannah, well, it's different when it's an elephant. I would like an elephant painting if that's possible. But listen, Hannah, when he moved in, you didn't know we had this art. Obviously, it came from somewhere.
No, I had no idea. I didn't. Well, maybe I guess I saw one or two pieces in his place, but it just didn't occur to me because my place was much nicer.
Right. I love that. I love that. When a woman thinks that you're going to move in together, and what that really means is you get three drawers and that's it. Mm. The rest stays the same.
Yeah, toothbrush hole.
Yeah. No, unbelievable. There's all kinds of junk in my house.
Oh, man.
All this junk
is
there. All right, let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Bobby, that it's like now it's your place. You're sharing the home together. And if you want to have some of that art on the walls, no matter how unattractive it is to Hannah, you have a right to do that. You guys are splitting the rent or your mortgage right there. It's not that you're just paying the whole thing, right, Hannah?
No, that's right.
Okay. But they may see your side too, Hannah, that you had it decorated a certain way and this art just doesn't go. Maybe if we put it in storage when you move into a new home together at some point, it can make a reappearance.
Listen to you. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couple's Court with Anna and Raven.
Bobby is moving in with his girlfriend, Hannah, which is fantastic. Everybody's excited about it. The problem is, though, he never had brought up that he was also bringing up these master paintings that he collects. And they're big. They're big in size. And Hannah doesn't really like them. And her house is fully decorated and she doesn't want to put them up.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Now you're cohabitating, right? So if you just go ahead and disregard his feelings, that's not very smart at all. I tend to believe that Hannah had gone to his apartment at one time or another before. And what did she just assume? That he was going to put all these things aside? She had to have seen these art pieces before.
Storage. He was going to put them in storage. That's what she thought.
To please her.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
I am on Hannah's side. Because I completely understand how she feels. My husband is a big collector of art, and everywhere in my house, there is an art piece. And it's graffiti art, and it's not my favorite. So I think that you guys need to understand how she feels. It was her place first, and maybe figure out a way to incorporate the art little by little, or what, maybe a couple of pieces, but you can't take over the whole place.
Thank you for the call. And as a side note, I love graffiti art. I really do. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Bobby and Hannah are moving in together. Well, Bobby's moving into Hannah's home, and here's the problem. Hannah's home is fully furnished and fully decorated, and she is not in love with his massive artwork that he has brought over to her home.
Here's the thing, though. They are moving in together now, and maybe Hannah wasn't quite ready for this. I mean, did she honestly believe that he was going to move in and not bring any of his decorations? I've got everything just so. So it's nice that you're here, but besides your electronics, there's no point of you being here. Come on.
They're floor-to-ceiling paintings. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on his side. Art is subjective, and what I would say is compromise and find a place that kind of meshes. Even if it's in another room, at least he has something.
Yeah, it is one of those things where you act like it's no big deal, but your feelings got to be hurt if none of your stuff is represented in the place that you live.
Yeah, I agree. But if it's real ugly. Hi, it's Hannah Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am 100% on his side. If she moved into his place, she would be trying to change all the little pieces to include her stuff in his house. So it could go the other way around as well.
I had a similar situation where I had a piece of artwork that I had gotten. And I, for whatever reason, it spoke to me. I really enjoyed this piece of artwork. Alicia, my wife, did not enjoy that art. Mm-hmm. So I would store it for a while. Then we ended up moving from one place to the next. You know what happened is the art got damaged being moved from one place to the next. So then I ended up tossing it out. But I was mad and upset when I had to toss it out.
I was just wondering how that artwork that you commissioned of the black jelly beans to put Darth Vader's face that Alicia didn't like, how much did that actually cost?
I did not commission that. That was something that somebody else had done in Las Vegas. Okay. And I got a photo next to it.
All right.
But it was thousands. Yeah. It was thousands.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
So, I'm on the boyfriend's side initially. Maybe not all of the prints, but one or two. And I just, 6 years ago, I went through this, and I hadn't lived with anyone until I found my husband-to-be, and I had a beautiful home, and I moved into his home. So I know how difficult it is to move into someone else's space, but the key word is compromise, and I think she has to give him a print or two.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bobby, our audience agreed with you. Hannah, you got to find a place
Thank
to
you.
Hang up some of that art. You got to make a compromise. You got to do it.
Yeah, we're classing the place up, babe.
It's an opportunity for you to get cultured, Hannah. Learn about the artist. Then you can tell people a story about it or something when they come in. And then they'll think that you're smarter than them. This is the whole point of artwork.
I still love
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Pete, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room now.
Sure. Good luck, Pete.
He said now.
Right,
he said, get out of here. Get on out of here with that stuff.
All right.
Jackpot has reset to $100. We had a big $2,700 winner yesterday. But Pete, $100 is still $100, right?
That's great.
All right, here we go. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back into the studio, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Number 1, Aladdin on Broadway had to halt its show one day after its opening because of breakthrough COVID cases with the cast. It has since restarted. How many wishes does the genie grant Aladdin?
3.
Number 2, Maya Bialik says Neil Patrick Harris stopped talking to her after she refused to give him a standing ovation for his performance in Rent. They became friends after both making cameos on each other's shows in the 90s. What shows were they?
Ooh. No idea.
Number 3, Dr. Dre, Snoop, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, and Eminem will all co-headline the Super Bowl halftime show this year. The show will be produced by Roc Nation. What artist founded Roc Nation?
Michael Jackson.
Number 4, The Sopranos prequel, The Many Saints of Newark, hits theaters today with James Gandolfini's son as a young Tony Soprano. What was Tony's wife's first name in The Sopranos?
Carmella.
And number 5, sources say Miley Cyrus will host NBC's New Year's Eve special this year, possibly from Miami. No word yet if the usual host, who has hosted since 2004, will return or if she's replacing him. Who was that host?
Oh, the comedian. Oh, gosh.
Time's up, Pete. That's okay.
Oh, God.
That's all right. Let me bring Raven back in. I know you had a lot of confidence, Pete.
Yo.
Pete only got 2 right.
Oh, not too good, Pete. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Aladdin on Broadway had to halt its show one day after its opening because of breakthrough COVID cases with the cast.
Oh, boy.
It has since reopened, though.
Oh, that's great.
How many wishes does the genie grant Aladdin?
Oh, they get 3 wishes. Everybody knows that.
Yep. Number 2, Maya Bialik says Neil Patrick Harris stopped talking to her after she refused to give him a standing ovation for his performance in Rent. They became friends after both making cameos on each other's shows in the 90s. What 2 shows were they?
Well, the 90s, it's got to be Blossom and Doogie Howser.
Yep. Number 3, Dr. Dre, Snoop, Mary J., Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, all going to co-headline the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
What a life this is. I can't believe this all these years later. These guys were gangsters.
The show will be produced by Roc Nation. What artist founded Roc Nation?
Jay-Z, and wisely, he's staying out of it. It's a West Coast thing, not an East Coast thing.
Number 4, The Sopranos prequel of The Many Saints of Newark hits theaters today with James Gandolfini's son as a young Tony Soprano.
Yeah, looks good.
What was Tony's wife's first name in The Sopranos?
Carmella.
Yep. And number 5, sources say Miley Cyrus will host NBC's New Year's Eve special this year, possibly from Miami. No word yet if the usual host, who has hosted since 2004, will return or if she's replacing him. Who is that host?
It's Carson Daly, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Pete, he beat you 5-2 this morning.
Shout out to my work wife, Kat.
What's up, Kat?
I mean, she should have been there for you better.
Yeah. Well, you can give Kat your Anna and Raven t-shirt. How about that?
Right. Better luck
Sounds
next
good.
Time. Enjoy that shirt,
thanks.
Pete.
I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Pete. Hold on. I like that he shuts out his work wife. That seems weird, right?
Wait till his real wife hears it.
Right, yeah.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.